Ezekiel 36 in our Bibles, Ezekiel 36, and I do hope you'll listen very carefully tonight, because this text, as far as I'm concerned, and the message of it, is more and more appropriate with our changing society. And I say that because there was a day in our nation when there were basically three major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, maybe PBS, and so you could hear a lot of stuff on that, and then they added 24-hour cable news since the oncoming of CNN back in the 80s and 90s, and then you could hear 24 hours of stuff, and then after that, they've added social media where you can read and be told stuff 24/7 from one site after another, from Facebook to Instagram, whatever the site may be, and then, of course, there's email and the internet, in which more and more information can be given out. And the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And he's going to utilize every tool that any society has to spread his lies and his slander, and especially his slander, because we're talking about God's people. So let's read some scriptures and then we'll pray. Ezekiel 36, verse 1, "Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." Now that's the number one thing we all need to do, and we're doing it tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. And again, not going to get a lot of the word of the Lord in social media, 24-hour news cable, and the internet. "Thus saith the Lord," verse 2, "thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha." It's a term of derision. It's a mockery. It's like, aha. "Because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God. Because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people." Now, if there were talkers in those days, in the days of Ezekiel, before telephones and televisions and internet and news shows and print media the way we have, if there were talkers in those days that could defame and discourage the people of God, imagine the talkers we have today at Satan's disposal. Verse 4, "Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God." Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful tonight for your word. And I pray that we will hear the word of the Lord. And I also pray, Father, that we will recognize and understand that there are talkers, and that there are enemies of your people who say, aha, all the time. And I pray we'll understand what you told your people to do about it then, which is what you are telling us tonight to do about it as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Verse 2 and 3 of this text, I want you to notice God, again, is responding to the words of derision and scorn that Edom directed at Israel, his people. "Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession, therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God." In other words, God says in verse 2, because the enemy hath said, and because you're taken up with this, you're taken up in the lips of these talkers, therefore, Ezekiel, prophesy and say these words. And of course, the words that Ezekiel is now inspired to say in this chapter are some of the more familiar, profound prophecies in all the Bible. They are, as you all know, words of promise. They're words of judgment, mercy, truth, and they extend all the way to the New Testament church and to you and I tonight. And again, why Did God give this prophecy to Ezekiel and to God's people? Well, it was in response to these disparaging taunts of the enemies of God's people. You know, God always hears it when the adversary accuses the brethren. And Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Of all the things that Satan does, we know that paramount is he is the accuser of the brethren. Most of you know, and we've mentioned this in the past, that in modern American culture, it's nearly an art form today to use words of derision against others. Almost all hip-hop music is basically just trash-talking other hip-hop artists, dissing one another. The word diss means disrespect, of course. And it's especially prevalent in sports, where they do trash-talking. Some of it's meant, you know, to be intimidating but harmless. Larry Bird in the NBA was especially and surprisingly, he was voted number one trash talker in all of sports. I was surprised to learn that not long ago. He actually beat out Muhammad Ali, who sort of invented it. I do remember Larry Bird coming to a three-point contest at an All-Star game. He walked into the gym, he got there last, and he looked at the other guys, his competitors, and he said to them, "So which of you is coming in second?" You remember that, huh, Mike? And then he proceeded to win it without even taking off his warm-up jacket. Some of you may remember that. One guy was told that he was so chubby he couldn't reach the rim unless, quote, there was a Big Mac on it. I mean, they do talk trash in sports. And, of course, there are many, many such men who are famous for trying to intimidate and distract and anger their opponents by ridiculing their looks or their stats or their mama, whatever it takes, right? And all of it is to get them off of their game. And while it's true that this kind of smack has become an art form in our society, it's still also true that it's been around in the world since the book of Genesis. Satan has always opposed the people of God by being the accuser of the brethren. And by the way, we ought not be a part of it. There's no reason for us to join with him in accusing the brethren. I'm not talking about accusing those who are destroying the things of God, but accusing fellow believers. The way that Satan talked trash in the book of Job is but a glimpse of his darkened nature. And in fact, usually what we see in the Bible is exactly what's described in tonight's text, wherein the enemies of God are directing their scorn and their mockery at the people of God, so that what Satan uses is people. He uses men and women who, through slander, through lies, try to discourage, to direct or misdirect, and then destroy the people of God. Verse 2 again, look at it very carefully. "Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha." Verse 3, "Therefore prophecies say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession under the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are in infamy." That's not a good word. It's a bad word. "In infamy of the people." In other words, look, God says this, because the enemy is saying this, therefore, Ezekiel, I want my people to hear and know this. And pretty much you can summarize God's counsel in response to Edom's trash-talking with three admonitions. And they're for us tonight. What do you do? What are you supposed to do when there's so much? I mean, if you're going to turn on the television tonight and watch almost any news station, if you're going to open up the paper tomorrow morning and read almost any page, if you're going to listen to virtually any talk show, The View, I don't care what the talk show is. They are going to take the things of this book and the things that you hold dear and the things that you believe in, and they are going to trash them and you and all of it Satan does with an object to discourage you, to misdirect you. So what is Ezekiel told to tell the people to do? Number one, he's told to tell them to listen, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to God. Who are you listening to tonight? Look at verse 7. Same chapter. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, around you," and they are about us, They shall, maybe they're not now, but they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you. And God's people said, amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? He says, I want you to know something. I know what they've said. I know what you're hearing all the time. I just want you to know that I'm for you. Listen to God. You know, years ago, I was watching a game, football game, between the Dolphins and the Patriots. It's a classic battle of good versus evil. But it was a game in which the Dolphins were losing and were going to lose. And typical, right? And I remember after a really hard hit that a Dolphins defender put on someone, that he looked down at the Patriots player who was on the ground, and he was giving him all kinds of smack. You know how they do, right? And just talking trash to that guy. And the only thing is, the Patriots player got up off the ground, he just laughed at the guy, and he pointed at the scoreboard. That's all he had to do. And all of that man's bluster and bravado and boasting and attempts at intimidation were completely and immediately answered simply by pointing to the score. So you know what? I guess the question is this. Yes, they're saying a lot of things. And they'll continue. They did it a long time ago. So the question is, you know, by the way, it's hard to intimidate someone with trash talk when that person's team is going to win and is winning. The world says Christians are losers, Christians are bigots, the Bible's outdated, the Ten Commandments are intolerant, Jesus was just a man, if he even existed, it doesn't pay to serve God, sodomy and humanism are going to prevail, God doesn't answer your prayers, you ought to quit now, church is a waste of time. You know what that is, folks? That's just trash talk. And you know, if the devil and his crowd are spouting it to your heart, all you really have to do is stop and look at the scoreboard. Just take a few moments and look at the truth. And by the way, this scoreboard right here, as it were, it's not fixed on the second quarter or the third quarter. It's not even the fourth quarter. The scoreboard of the Word of God doesn't even have a number except maybe a letter, F for final score. In other words, we already know the last word. And in the end, and for all of eternity, God reigns with His people. You know, someone once said, if the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And you can add to that, remind him of your future as well. That's the real glory. Skip ahead to verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Well, we have an almost identical promise that God gives us in Revelation. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Hallelujah to that. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That's the reason why Jesus told Nicodemus, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things. He should have known these things, that God does this new birth in the heart. This is one of the texts Jesus is referring to. Same verse 20. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Verse 35, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. You know what that is, beloved? That's your future. You have the right answer to the lies and the taunts of Satan. You know, Winston Churchill was famous for for his feud with Lord Attlee and others, but he was most famous for the way that he could come back to some sort of accusation or derision. There was an example when he accused Churchill of being drunk. He said, "Mr. Churchill, you're drunk." And Churchill said, I may be drunk, but you're ugly, and tomorrow I shall be sober." His most famous rebuttal came when Lady Mary Astor once insulted him, and he said, "Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, I would poison your tea." And Churchill said, "Madam, if I were your husband, I'd drink that tea." It's like he always had the perfect answer for every insult. Not perfect. But I tell you who does have the perfect answer, because when it comes to insult and ridicule from the enemies of God, we do have. We actually have the absolute perfect answer, because they're all eternally true. "Ye shall be my people," God says, "and I shall be your God," which is exactly what God says to us in the final chapter, the same wording of the book of Revelation. What do you do when the devil, the accuser, tries to discourage and destroy you with condemnation and deprecation? You listen to God. If we were to take all the stuff we listen to from the world that's anti-God and anti-God's word and put it on this scale of your heart, and all of the things that God's word says about you on this side, which side is going to receive the most? Which is another way of saying, who are you listening to the most? What is your heart hearing the most? Sunday morning, I taught the teenagers from 1 John 3:20. And that text says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us," and our hearts do condemn us, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know what the most deceitful thing in the universe is? Well, you know, commercials are deceitful. Billboards are deceitful. A lot of salespeople are deceitful. But that's not the most deceitful thing in the world. The most deceitful thing in the universe is the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know your heart and my heart? Well, 1 John 3:20, John tells us. It says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And so that whole epistle of 1 John uses the word "know" and "knoweth" over 30 times. You can know that you're in him. That you can know greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That your heart doesn't have to condemn you if you're listening to God. The second thing you'll notice, number two, is locate the source. If you're hearing a bunch of aha, locate the source of it. Verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy, hath said against you, aha, even the ancient places are ours in possession." Look at verse 5. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen." Look at verse 7. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I've lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame." Verse 24. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you." That's the way it goes all through the book of Ezekiel, by the way, so that you'll know what? Ezekiel and these others were being reminded over and over again that in spite of all of the talk and the intimidation and the threats and the accusations, God never lost sight of who these accusers really were. In other words, what they said didn't have any merit because their father was the father of lies. Their father, Jesus said that, their father was the father of lies. It's just like, you know, Sunday morning or Sunday night, last Sunday I know, I mentioned Baghdad Bob. "There are no Americans in Baghdad, never. They're committing," I remember one time he said, "they're committing suicide all over the country." All the American soldiers were committing suicide. You know, nobody took any of that seriously. Why? I mean, his title, he had a fancy title, and he had a sort of a costume uniform, remember? His title was Iraqi Information Minister, except he never gave any information. He just told these big whoppers on the air about Americans being butchered in their tanks. So consequently, while people recorded what he said, they considered the source and then they ridiculed what he said. He didn't strike fear into a single American's heart. You know, tonight, if Satan is attacking and accusing and gloating, always remember and locate the source. Jesus said Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar. Then he said, you're liars, you're the children of him, so you're liars as well. He said, in him is no truth at all. The devil says, you'll never amount to anything because your father's an alcoholic. That's a lie. It's a satanic lie. Satan says, God doesn't love you or you wouldn't be going through this trial. That's a lie. You say, Pastor, no, I heard a preacher on TV say that. Yeah, he's a liar too. God says, God can't forgive you of that sin. That's one of the biggest lies of all. In other words, folks, whomever the devil is using at the time, no matter what it is that they're saying, look at the messenger as the Baghdad Bob of perdition. You know, it doesn't matter if the subject's evolution or abortion or inspiration, the resurrection, salvation, doesn't matter if the scorner's title is information minister or professor or judge or reverend or senator. If it's coming from the devil and his crowd, you always consider the source. And the source, Jesus said, was a liar from the beginning. We have just begun the 2020 presidential political season. Hold on tight to this one, right? Because the deception and the accusations are bigger than ever. You know, if I were advising someone who was going to be taking a lot of arrows in the political world, you know what advice I'd give them? The same thing as God gives to his people. I'd say, just consider the source. Loons are loons. And if they're loony, then what they say should have no effect. When the devil and his crowd are trash-talking God and his people, you have to consider the source. The Bible says he's a liar and he's a loser. Number one, listen to God. Number two, locate the source. Number three, you'll notice, is look at the substance. Don't ever just take something. Look at chapter 35. Verse 12. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. If you don't think that God hears all of the words of all the blasphemies that's being spouted, he hears every one of them, he says. And you notice what he calls them. He says, I have heard all of thy blasphemies. Now, sometimes Bible words just kind of roll over us because we've heard them since we were little, or we read them in literature and we think we know what they mean all the time. And we just think the word blasphemy is something that's bad. But the word blasphemy is a real and a specific word. The Hebrew word blasphemy here is fascinating. It literally means to flash in blossom. It was a word that was used to describe, for example, a bud, a flower that opens up, but then quickly is disappeared. Sort of like a flash in the pan. And this is what God says about their words, these blasphemies. The Word of God uses that word to talk about the trash talking of the devil. It's colorful. It is immediate. It is flashy, it is loud, but most of all, it's here and gone. It's here and gone. And that should put all of that into perspective for us. I remember watching a documentary and Benito Mussolini, the fascist dictator of Italy in the Second World War, was up there and he was, I mean, you talk about boasting and blasphemy and bluster and audacity. He was the definition of the Hebrew word blasphemy. He didn't walk on the balcony in Rome. He strutted on that balcony. Black shirts of Rome, I come among you and look firmly in the eyes. And you remember he, like all Italians, you know, waving that hand like Brother Remo does? It was a speech like Adolf Hitler's of nothing but blasphemous boasting. For 1,000 years we shall rule Europe again, blah, 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 blah. They were really big words. Big words. Flashy words. For a man who would soon be strung up by his own people in the street and spat upon. You think about the substance of what Haman said or Pharaoh said. Sennacherib, Belteshazzar, Herod or Nero or Khrushchev or Saddam. It was all, as this word says, it was all blasphemy. It was a flash of boasting that vanished at the word of God. In God's time. Remember Manuel Noriega? And he stood up at that podium in Panama. And he dared George Bush to come into his country. And he had that machete. And he banged it on the podium. Boom, boom, boom. And in Spanish, you know, he was calling us all kinds of names. After he was federal prisoner number 146802 in Miami. He then died, but not in his palace. He died in a little cell. You see, the substance of Satan's slander and accusations are always blasphemy. Always. They are blossoms that are quick to disappear because they have no substance. Do you hear what they're saying, Pastor? Same thing they were saying in Ezekiel 35. But the word of God is still true. And they are gone. You compare what they said to the eternal truth of God's word. When God speaks, beloved, it is not boasting. It is not blasphemy. It is not bravado. It is eternal truth. And that's why Jesus answered Satan's contempt in the wilderness. You do recognize that Satan came and blasphemed, and Satan came and boasted, and Satan came and accused and tried everything he could. And Jesus answered him all three times with what? Always the word of God. He exposed his lies with the truth of God's word. And can I say that's one reason why God's people ought to come to church? Christians who stay home from church on Sunday morning and they're watching Chuck Todd or whatever, they're Meet the Depressed and Deface the Nation and all that, they are depressed. These are the Christians I have to counsel because they don't understand why God allowed this, or they're so depressed and their marriage is in trouble. They really ought to be with fellow Christians who hear and believe and rejoice in the truth of God's word. This is true substance. When you look throughout history and at all the great boastings and slanders of Satan, you will find the same thing. It was always just talk. It was hot air. All that Satan really has and all he's really done is bluster. It's just like the guy who's losing on the football field who's talking smack. When it comes to the word of God, however, when it comes to thus saith the Lord, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. I remember when a dear friend of mine, a brother I led to Christ, he went into surgery to have a brain tumor removed. He and his family had been greatly tested for months and months, and this tumor was sort of make it or break it. If they took it out and it was successful, he'd live, otherwise he wouldn't. And just before they took him out, they wheeled him out of his room to go into pre-op, he emailed me. And in the email, he put this little quote. It said this. He said, "Jim, the promises of God never burn brighter than in the furnace of affliction." And he put his favorite verse, and I've never forgotten that, because I could see that that dear brother who's serving the Lord faithfully today, I could see that he, in going to that furnace of affliction, wasn't listening. I mean, he was a pastor. He wasn't listening to the fiery arrows of Satan. Why is God allowing this? This doesn't make sense. Some people, you don't have enough faith. He put his trust and his feet firmly on the Word of God. Satan's counsels, the Bible says, shall come to naught. But God's word abideth forever. And you know what? If you're here tonight and Satan's been attacking you, Satan is a liar. You've been a recipient of the accusers because they're following the accuser of the brethren. You know, we noted how athletes in various sports use this stuff. They talk smack. And they do it as a way of, as we said, distracting or discouraging their opponents. And it works with some people. And it's exactly what happened in 1996 when Jeremy Renick kept harassing and criticizing Patrick Ra. Patrick Ra, you know, of the Colorado Avalanche. He was in the Western Cup semifinals. Hello. It's distracting me. And you know, as all trash talk is, it was an obvious, you could see it through the entire game. It was an attempt to get him, you don't have to get a goalie very distracted, just a little distracted. Attempt to get him off his game. And so in the post-game interview, a reporter asked him about those constant attacks. And he said, "How did you handle it so well?" And we noticed you didn't even go back at him, because that's what they were hoping for, that he would go back at him and be distracted. And here's what Patrick said. He said, "I couldn't hear Jeremy because I have two Stanley Cup rings plugged in my ears. And I couldn't talk back to him because I had my other two rings in my mouth." You see, with four Stanley Cups, it was Patrick Ra's way of saying, "I don't need to listen or be affected by a loser. I don't need to do that. I just know the truth." And you know, beloved, the world and the devil are losers. They are losers and they are liars. And the glory of all of this is that if you will be strong and hear the word of the Lord and be true, then many of those out there that are accusers of the brethren will come to the truth and be in here with us. I mentioned Manuel Noriega. Did you know that while he was in jail in Miami, he accepted Christ as his Savior? And after accepting Christ as his Savior in prison, federal prison, he grew so much in the Lord, was discipled by a godly man, that he held a Bible study and he taught the Bible study himself. No more bluster out of his mouth. Humility and praise to God. And this is the glory of our faith, that if we trust God and believe God and listen to God and listen to God more than we listen to man and Satan's accusations, we can go on in faith. We don't have two Stanley Cups in our ears. We have the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And God's people said, amen. Father, we are grateful tonight for the power of your Word. And we are grateful that all the way back centuries and centuries ago, when there were those who spouted blasphemies against your people, who with their mouth boasted against you, they were put down simply by the word of your truth. And your people then were told to trust in you and what you say and not what they say. And centuries and centuries later, the same boastings come from the same people and the same father of lies. But may we embrace your word. May we, as our Savior and our Master, our example, who answered Satan with Scripture, who answered the Pharisees and their accusations with truth and scripture, may we do the same. May we hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.